Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Emilio Danello and Mike Gregg. This is our post-match show of the 2-0 Fulham victory against Leeds United. We have much to talk about in this match. Before I do anything, let me welcome the co-host, Mr. Danello. How you doing?
Hi there, Russ. Hi there, Mike. Nice to be on the show tonight. Had a bit of a late day at work, so I've only got it back about 15 minutes ago. So, yeah, glad to just get home, share some interesting gossip and conversation about Fulham's victory on Tuesday night. So looking forward to the show with you tonight.
I'm very much looking forward to doing it with the two of you. Mr. Gregg, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Busy day at work, but like Emilio, didn't get into it too long ago. But yeah, looking forward to talking about Tuesday and everything that came from that. And and doing the show again on with cameras or on sound, you know, as long as the listeners enjoy it either way, that's good enough for me.
I'm right there with you, Mike. Listen, we're going to be recording this right now as a video, but it will be a podcast version as well. So we're going to give our listeners and people who watch it two versions of the show. It's going to be the same show, but you can listen to it and you can also watch it, which is great. All right, let's get right to it. Opening thoughts. Emilio, I'm going to start with you. Very huge victory for Fulham. What are your thoughts?
I just thought it was a professional, organized, disciplined performance. You know, we've played better this season and not won. You know, at the time we played well in spells. I don't think we dominated throughout, but Leeds deserve a bit of credit because they gave us a bit of a run for our money in the second half. But overall, it was a good championship performance, professional. We did the job, kept the clean sheet, you know, looked hungry, looked up for it. And, you know, I don't think we can ask for more than that. We got the 3 points, but on another day, it could have been a different story. And I think that's, you have to ride your luck sometimes. And I think we did that second half. Overall, I think it was fairly comfortable, convincing, but Leeds, you know, made a fight of it second half. So that made it all the more interesting for the neutrals.
I totally agree with you. And Mike, I want to go to you. I want to get your opening thoughts and something that has been bothering me ever since this victory. Listen, I'll take all 3 points and Fulham deserved it. And Emilio brought up that it was a professional performance. But why do you think Leeds came into it in the second half? That's the question I have.
I think it was a typical championship game. You've got us who, you know, we're one of the best teams in the league. Leeds are, you know, mid-table, top half maybe. But you can't, you know, just rest on your laurels, you know, being one up or being in control of a game because it can just turn like that in this league. You know, from 1 to 24, we've seen teams time and time and again, you know, get good results against all the better teams. So it's, for me, just a classic championship game. But, you know, Leeds came out second half, similar to the QPR game. And they, unlike QPR, though, I thought they actually attacked us more. It wasn't us almost freezing like we did against QPR. It was Leeds actually putting more men forward and you know, I don't think they threatened us too much. I mean, you know, we had that, we'll talk about it later, but Betts saved that one major chance. But in the end, we controlled the game, got the right result. We deserved it as well, I think, if you look at all the stats. And yeah, thoroughly professional job. And we just continue on this run.
It's an incredible run. And I'm very happy that they got all 3 points. I'm just curious your thoughts on how Leeds United came into the game. And Mike, I'm glad that you brought up that it was different from the QPR match. They came at us and they did a good job. They just couldn't convert their opportunities. All right, guys, real quick, your thoughts on the starting 11 and the 18 overall. Emilio, to you first.
On the whole, I think it's as expected. You know, the plays on, you know, I was a little bit critical of him in the last game against QPR at home. I was surprised that he started that game, you know, against a physical team. So I'm not surprised to see him on the bench. There's a bit of speculation around whether Aite was the right person to come in. I know, Mike, you're not necessarily his biggest fan in the world. I actually do like Aite, but, you know, he did have a very quiet game on Tuesday. I didn't really see him in the game that much. He seemed to be very much out of the picture, not really involved, not engaged. But not many surprises there. I think that, you know, that you'd expect 10 of those 11 players to have started. You know, Adoy's continued to earn his right to play in central defence. And, you know, again, we discussed a couple of weeks ago whether he should be dropped for a more orthodox central defender. But he's keeping Callas out of the team. We're keeping clean sheets. I'm not sure what more we can do. So I'm not necessarily over-surprised by that lineup. It's one of our strongest. And, you know, the team just look like a unit. you know, that's the difference. We look, you know, we know each other's positions. They play to each other's strengths. We attack as a unit. We defend as a unit. You know, we just seemed like the finished article. But, you know, but then again, like you said, I wasn't surprised by that line, starting 11, really.
Okay, Mike, over to you. Your thoughts on the starting 11, the 18 overall?
Yeah, well, the biggest talking point was Cabano back in the 18.
Yeah,
so it meant Fon
good point.
Dropped out. But let's be honest here. I mean, 9 of the 11 pretty much picked themselves. And then it's a case of whether it's Callis or Adoy. And although I would have liked Callis to come back at some stage a bit earlier, after Norwich, you couldn't change that back line. I thought they played really well there. And then it's just who's going to play on the right. And Aiti started this time. Piaz only hasn't really played as well as he did maybe when he first came back into the side after his injury. So really, it's, you know, it's spin a coin on that right position. You could go Piazon, you could go Aiti, Cabano maybe back in it as well. But the rest of the team pretty much picks itself. Mm-hmm. So as expected, I think.
Okay, excellent, Mike. All right, let's now get in the first half and let's talk about the opening stage. It's Fulham looked like they were going to score. You have, let's talk about the opportunity by Floyd Aiti that hits the post. That's followed up by the header from Alexander Mitrovic. The overall opening stage is that whole situation. Your thoughts on how Fulham started the match?
Well, I mean, I thought they actually started really well, and most of it was in front of where I was sitting, which was good. You know, Sessegnon was straight on it. Mitrovic had a couple of chances. We were always dangerous. We could have cut them open, being two up, you know, within the first 10, 15 minutes. And yes, yeah, they were playing the long ball. We didn't look too worried about them in the opening stages of the game. But I actually thought, you know, if we'd scored a lot earlier, we would, you know, it could be a nice 3 or 4 nil win, really. But there were stages we were playing some really good football. We just didn't quite break them down early enough. But it was good to see them on the ball, you know, straight away playing the type of football. There's a couple of sloppy passes at the back, but overall, really good start to the game, and just wish we'd maybe got a goal a bit earlier.
Okay, very good point. Over to you, Emilio. Did you see the beginning stages like Mike as maybe some missed opportunities? We played some good football, but we just could not convert.
Yeah, absolutely. Those first 20 minutes, I think we dominated. You know, literally, I think Matt Target and Sessegnon were, you know, very lively on the left there. Good movement, good passing, very, very quick. I think Mitrovic early on maybe should have done better, should have hit the target. I think he was in a good position in the box, but, you know, I think he shot wide. Aiti, you know, I was at the other side of the pitch from what I've seen. Maybe that could have, in another day, that could have gone in the back of the net. So, you know, we were dominant, we were quick, we were passing fluently, lovely one touch, lovely movement. But, you know, we deserved to take a goal lead. But then the second half of the first half, we just, you know, again, you know, maybe, you know, Leeds started getting in the game. There's a few stoppages, a few fouls, a few injuries. That sort of slowed the disruption again. That worked in Leeds' favour, to be honest. So they got the, you know, they slowed the game down, and maybe we lost our rhythm and lost our momentum. So overall, great first 20 minutes. But, you know the few injuries and things, they just slowed the game down a little bit.
Okay. Mike, back over to you. Let's talk about the goal from Kevin McDonald. It was really more to do with Alexander Mitrovic, but he gets credited with the goal. Talk about the goal and also what Emilio was talking about, because I noticed this as well. After the goal, Leeds United started to come into the match.
Yeah, I mean, we'd had maybe 2 or 3 corners before, and, you know, we'd had a couple of chances from that. But, yeah, Mitrovic's header down. If you look at a replay, McDonald's back to the action. It hits his arse and basically goes in the goal. And everyone sort of, certainly where I was sitting, was like, hello, is this going to get, you know, it's going to get... gone completely blank there. I mean, was it a goal, wasn't it? You know, is the ref going to blow something? But then suddenly, yeah, you know, we're one up, and McDonald looks the most embarrassed goal scorer for a long time. Even though he said after the game he was claiming it. But it was Mitrovic again, though, causing the problems. You know, he had a shot earlier, a header as well. And, you know, we were a team who couldn't score from corners a little while ago, and Mitrovic has made a difference now. And
that's a great point.
we've been working on stuff as well. You can see that they're trying different things around the box. So, you know, more hard work on the training field pays off. But I've thoroughly deserved the goal. And yes, after that, we, you know, we sort of sat back maybe a little bit. We're one up. We're on a great run. Why maybe with the QPR game and also this game in the second half, although, like I say, Leeds probably attacked more, you know, we're one up. We know we need to win. So let's just be a bit cautious. We're not playing that free, you know, flowing game. And you get a bit, players get a bit nervous and a bit tense. It's to be expected. And, but, you know, we continue to play the way we play, despite what some of the fans shout during the game. But actually, whether it came across on TV or not, maybe Emilio agree. Actually, I thought they'd learnt from the QPR game, especially Adoy, where sometimes where it looked as if we were under pressure and about to make that mistake, they went long. And Bettinelli went long a few times as well.
True. That's a good point. Now, his distribution was exceptional. You know, on Tuesday he threw the, you know, he was quick, but also patient as well. So at times I could see, you know, where, to your point, Mike, Bettinelli had the easy option was to pass to his defenders, but, you know, play safety first, get the ball down the middle, play it to your target man who gave Leeds problems throughout the whole 90 minutes. And again, that's a fair point. I've never looked at it that way, but I think I agree with you. I think we did learn that mistake against QPR and safety first, especially when you're only that one goal up. But the end of that first half, I don't know what you guys thought, but there was a smell of a QPR deja vu. We conceded two before half time. I think, hold on a second, a needless foul we conceded, and it had the hallmarks of another QPR sucker punch. Thankfully, it came to nothing, but on another day, better quality delivery to the box. And if they had a Matt Smith in their armour, that might have been a different story. So what was synonymous with Tuesday's game? We gave away stupid fouls needlessly, picked up yellow cards needlessly. So that's the discipline side of things. We just need to control that. Don't let the excitement get ahead of you. Just be patient, be steady, and don't concede those sloppy free kicks and give away the ball needlessly. Otherwise, you might be punished by a better team.
Yeah, there was definitely that tension in the last few minutes and into injury time, thinking they're going to let an equaliser in, aren't they? It didn't happen, but so that was good.
I'm glad that you guys mentioned, I was going to ask you that feeling. And Emil, thank you for bringing that up, because I felt like that. Obviously, you guys being there, both of you being there, definitely felt that feeling that potentially something bad was going to happen. Thankfully, it did not. All right, let's transition to the second half. Let's talk about this. And best thing I can talk about in the beginning of the second half, like we're talking about, I thought that Leeds United were coming into the match, were being more dominant at times, but we had a couple of opportunities from Ryan Sessegnon. So Ryan Sessegnon had a couple of opportunities, one in the 57th minute and then the 60th minute. But I want to go right to the whole situation which set Fulham up to win the match, and that is the save by Bettinelli. And Mike, I want to get your thoughts on the save, and then also going down there, being opportunistic, taking a situation like that and scoring from Mitrovic, making it 2-0. So let's talk about the whole scenario of the save and the goal.
Yeah, well, I've never known, in 40 years of going, I've never known a team, the way we play, where you can almost smell you're going to let a goal in. You know, they're mucking around at times. We're being pressured. They put 3-4 up at times, certainly when they were 2-0 down. And although we were going a bit longer, you know, not being as sort of keeping the ball consistently like we usually do, you could just see a gap opening, and there it was. All of a sudden, the guys in between the two centre-backs, one-on-one inside the 18-yard box. And Bettinelli, I mean, as you're watching it, he comes out and just makes himself so big. You know, he just almost grew like, you know, it's almost like watching the Incredible Hulk sort of suddenly just go like that. And makes himself big, does his job, and we just break away. And I think I've seen it's 14 seconds from the save all the way up to the goal. And, you know, great breakaway goal. And that killed it for them. You could just see how deflated they were. And, but what a finish. And Mitrovic is such, you know, him and Target have just made such a difference. Real quality players. Target, for me, is absolute revelation. You know, he's one of the best left backs I've seen.
So you don't miss Scott Malone?
No, I don't miss Scott Malone.
Okay. Sorry, I had to throw that in there, Mike.
Yeah, too, didn't you? But no, Target for me is the best left back we've had since. There was a guy called Bonacel, probably before your time, Russ.
Yep.
He played only about 16, 17 games, French guy. He was quality, but he got injured and we never saw him again. I think he's the best left back we've seen since then.
Wow, that's fantastic. All right, Emilio, I want you to take us through the later stages of the second half. Now, Leeds United had another opportunity to score. I don't know how he did not score on this, but they had a wonderful opportunity. What were your feelings later on in the match? Did you feel that we could hold on at 2-0? Or do you feel that we were just going to win this match? What was going through your mind being there?
Yeah, and I think just before I do that, I think the first 15 minutes of that second half, I sort of think there was an element of, let's try to attack with, let's catch these guys on the break. I actually thought we invite, at least I'm going to give them credit because they gave us a run for their money second half, as I said at the beginning of the show. But I also think there was an element of us just sitting back, inviting them to come forward and catch them on the break, just as we scored the second goal. I think that was synonymous with that first 15 minutes. Leeds, yes, they've done well, but I think we gave them the opportunity to come forward, attack us, you know, in numbers, and what we'll do, we'll catch you on the break as you start to leave some gaps in the back. And that's what we did after 14 seconds. And that happened throughout the second half. And I just thought we lost a little bit of our shape when we made the substitutions, but we were giving away silly fouls, silly free kicks. I think we were coasting at one point, but if they had scored after 85 minutes with about 5-6 minutes left, it could have been a nervous last 5 to 10 right. minutes. So I think that was unnecessary. And that's all because we were, I don't know, getting ahead of ourselves. We're 2-0, we're comfortable. Just do what professional good teams do. Keep ball, keep possession. You don't need to score a third goal. Keep things tight. But we tried to get the third goal, yet give the ball away too many times. And that's why I just thought we just need to be a little bit more coordinated, a little bit more just patient. And I think we played, you know, we gave Leeds the opportunity to sneak a late goal, which could have maybe made it a nervous 5-10 minutes. So all unnecessary, in my opinion. That's what we need to address in the next few games, because we don't want any stupid sending offs. And another day, we could have lost. We could have got a man down there. Okay. You know, Johansson, silly foul. McDonald got away with a second foul. I don't know if people saw that, but he conceded a foul, you know,
yes,
when the Leeds players on the leg. That went unnoticed, but he was already on a yellow card. That could have resulted in a second yellow, off he went. So just, you're 2-0 up. You're reasonably comfortable, close the game out like good teams do. I think we struggle to do that the latter stages of the game.
Mike, your thoughts on Emilio's comments about the later stages in the match?
Yeah, I mean, Jurcanović made the change, brought Norwood on, and you know, he pushed Kearney out on the right. So it was definitely a case of, you know, we're 2-0 up, let's just sit back and or soak it up. And I think Emilio's right that, because they put almost four men up against our defence, we were sort of, yeah, let's take it, let's soak it up, and then go on the break. And you know, we did it a few times, and but yeah, it's Fulham. You know, we're 2-0 up. It's 85 minutes. We know there's going to be 5 minutes of injury time. You're thinking, oh, there's 10 minutes left. Don't let it go. But we have that bit of resilience now, though. You know, QPR game.
True.
And yes, you know, Johansson took one for the team. Absolutely took one for the team there. Yeah. And, you know, we can criticise them before about having a bit of a soft belly. And they're not showing that. But they do have to have their discipline. We still have a couple of hotheads in the team. And, you know, as we get into the real later stages of this season, on the basis we're going to hopefully have 3 more games or maybe none at all. But, you know, at the moment, I still think we're going to need 3 more games. And we need everyone fit, so no stupid tackles where you're going to get yourself injured. And, you know, get yourself sent off. You're going to miss important games, and we're going to need every player involved and fit for the rest of the season. So, yes, by all means, make that tackle if you really have to. But and there may be an element of that as well about why we suddenly get a bit sort of, you know, step back off because we don't want to get injured. Yeah. So it's a catch 22 sometimes.
Sure. Very good there, guys. All right. We're going to end by getting your ratings for the players. And I have Ryan O'Donovan's ratings And I'm just, we're going to do this like we've been doing it recently. Agree or disagree on his rating. So I'm going to go to both of you. Mike, I'm going to start with you. Marcus Bettinelli, he gives a 9. I would have to agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I would give him an 8.5. He made a great save. Let's not mess around here. He made a great, well, 2 great saves.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for me, it's an 8. Yeah, okay. It's an 8, yeah.
Okay, Emilio?
Yeah, I'm split on this, to be honest. You know, I've seen, I think he obviously got the Fulham Football Club man of the match, and I can understand why. I would have given him an 8, 8.5. You know, I think 9, maybe top end. He made it, didn't have, you know, he had the one save, but didn't have much else to do. His distribution was very good, both kicking and throwing. So that's been better than normal. So, yeah, so about 8, 8.5, I think is warranted. I think 9 maybe slightly too high. Let's not get carried away with that save. It was a good save. It was also at the keeper. And no, yes, I agree, he made himself big, but we'd be disappointed if we didn't score that from that opportunity. We, rather than saying the goalkeeper done a good save, we said we should have scored. Okay. I think Lee should have scored there, however big Bettinelli made himself. It was at him. It was at the right height, right in the middle. Maybe I'm doing a disservice, but maybe most keepers would have saved that. Just my view. Hence, I'm not exaggerating how good a save it was.
Okay. To the fullbacks. Fredericks and Target were both given 7s. Agree or disagree?
I'd actually give, Target I'd give 7. I'd actually give 8 to Fredericks. I thought he did quite well. And we saw both sides of him. And, you know, one in the second half, a nice little dinky cross for once, you know, quite weighted really well. Right. And then, of course, we saw his normal sort of, I'm going to shoot in that side netting from any angle. And that's what he did. So,
always, Mike, always.
Always, always. But, I'd give him an 8. Fredericks.
Okay, Emilio?
I think 7 is one. I think it's a fair for Fredericks. I think, like I said, he could have ventured forward a lot more at times, but ultimately, second half, he grew more into game again. We tried to catch him on the break, and that's where he was most effective. Target, I think 7 is about right. I'd give him an 8 first half, but 6 second half. I think Target was quiet in the second half. I didn't see him venture forward as much. So, the first half, he was very lively with Sestio, but second, you know, so net 7 is probably a fair rating for Target, but I agree with Mike's earlier point. Very accomplished, very, very comfortable, very solid. And his set pieces gives us something a little bit different. You know, we've always been worrying the quality of our set pieces in recent seasons, but Target's distribution, 75-80% of the time, is good delivery in the right area in the danger. And that's why Mitrovic is proving to be a handful there, because we're getting good quality crosses. We had Arno Ayite taking corners as we were at the beginning of the season. Maybe we wouldn't see Mitrovic as effective as he has been. So, good shout out there from Matt Target with his distribution from set piece.
Okay, Emilio, right back to you. I'm going to give you Dennis Odoi and Tim Ream. Odoi gets a 7. Ream gets an 8. Agree or disagree?
I think 7 is probably fair. You know, there's a couple of times when, you know, he's stupid. You know, I think it was in the second half when I think he gave the ball away on the halfway. He just literally just passed, you know, just didn't even find the man. I think, you know, the one, Mike, where he just had the ball plenty of time. He just misplaced the pass, a basic error there. Again, that got intercepted. We could have been stretched, could have been 2 against 2. But overall, he won most headers, looked very comfortable in the air, and overall, sometimes took less risk than did against QPR. So you've got to kick up the backside in that game and learnt his lesson. Tim Ream, other than one incident in the first half where he gave away the ball, I think he was faultless. You know, I've been saying on this show for the last 15 months, he's been our best central defender. I've said it last season, second half, He surpassed Thomas Callas second half of last season, and he's done it again this season. I actually give Tim Ream my man of the match ahead of him. He just looked commanding, solid, strong. Even there was one incident in the first half when Bettinelli should have given him the call out, because all I saw Tim Ream was he was shielding the ball, didn't know if anyone was around him. But he just needed a call out from Bettinelli. He said, look, you're on your own, just be patient. But Tim Ream was fighting the cause time and time again. He wanted that. He wants that shirt badly. And he was spectacular again. So he was my man of the match. We'll talk about that later.
Okay. Mike?
I'd give Odoi 7. I thought the first half he was a little bit nervous at times. And he does tend to overrun the ball a little bit, you know. Tries to beat the forward and then suddenly he kicks the ball too far and rushes his pass. And that's where I have my issues with Odoi, quite frankly. Okay. But Ream, I mean, Emilio's stolen my thunder. I haven't done a show with him for, 18 months or whatever? And, you know, but I thought Ream was absolutely excellent the other night. And so, I I was going to give him the man of match. I will be giving him man of match.
Okay.
So I'm a nine. You know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's exactly.
Okay, great, guys. Listen, just for time's sake, we're going to have to speed it up just a little bit. Mike, I'm going to go right back to you. McDonald, sure. Johansson, and Kearney all got eights. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I suppose that's an easy thing to do, give them all eights. But I would actually put Kearney down maybe a little bit, 7.5. The other two eights, yeah, I'd go with that.
Okay. Emilio?
Yeah, Kearney, again, 8 for the first half, but 6 for the second half. So net the average, I think, will be a 7 for Kearney. But Johansson, you know, he's probably my favourite Fulham player. When he's on form, he's beautiful to watch. His back heels, his flicks, his running, he's a joy to watch when he's on form. And, you know, shame on the Fulham fans who doubted him early in the season, saying he needs to be dropped, not good enough. He's come back to the beautiful footballing personality we have in the club. I love him. I love watching him.
Okay. Right back to you, Emilio. Sessegnon and Ayite. Ryan O'Donovan gives Sessegnon a 7. Ayite a 6. Agree or disagree?
I think Sessegnon, I'd probably give him more of an 8 because that first half he was dominant, strong, quick, you know, and dangerous. Ayite, weakest player on the pitch on the night. I think 6 is probably a little bit generous. I just thought he just didn't get into the game. The game just bypassed him. So I think I only gave him a 5, unfortunately. I like Ayite, but not his best game.
Mike, Ayite and Sessegnon.
Sessegnon, I'd give an 8. I thought after being dropped the other day, or rested, whatever word you want to call it, I thought he did really well both halves, but especially the first half. Ayite, yeah, he didn't play badly, but yes, out of 11 players, he was the weakest one. So you're going to have to give him the lowest score. I mean, I'll give him a 6, but I just think I just don't see what he offers to us this season. Last year, second half of last year, he was excellent, and you would think of dropping him. But I just don't see it this year. I really don't. But we all know if he's fit, Jukanovic is going to use him.
So, he likes him.
Yeah, he does. I'd go with that.
Okay, Mitrovic, Mike, Ryan O'Donovan gives him an 8.
Well, I think that's underscored for me because he was involved so much in the first half and so much. I haven't seen a big man with such close control of his feet where he can actually turn players and keep the ball. You know, we've had Zamora who could lay it off and he can do all of that.
He has wonderful control of his body, Mike.
Oh, this guy is, he's a Premier League player. Absolutely, no doubts about it. Absolutely. It was between him and Ream for man of match. I've gone with Ream, so I'm going to give Mitrovic 8.9.
Love it, Mike. Emilio, that was funny.
I'll repeat what Mike said. Let's look at the other side of his game, the defending he goes and does. Yeah, he went trapped back time and time again. He ran his socks off end to end the whole game, just like Johansson did. That's gone unnoticed amongst a lot of the fans. And sometimes when you're not going anywhere, you're playing a long ball, what does he do best? He shields a ball, invites a foul. Thank you very much. We waste another minute and a half on the clock. Those are those professional elements to his game that sometimes goes unnoticed. But, you know, he was not far off Tim Ream being in the match. He's got his assist, he's got his goal, and his running and passion on the pitch is like incredible to watch. But let's not forget the defending he does.
Yep.
And that's why he's knackered by the time the clock runs out. But another great performance.
Okay, very good. We are running short of time, guys. So quickly on Slavisa. Mike, rating for Slavisa.
I'm going to give him an 8. I mean, we've got the win. We're on this run. The subs, maybe the change in tactics allowed them to a little bit in the game for the last 10, 15 minutes. I'll give him an 8. You can't really fault him too much on that game.
Okay. Emilio?
7.5, 8. I think he hasn't got a difficult decision to choose who to play. So that pressure comes off when he's got to make a decision. I just thought the delay to making the substitutions. I thought Ayite was in the game first half. Maybe there was an opportunity to change that at half time. But we know he doesn't change things quickly. And in another day, you know, if we had made those substitutions earlier, maybe we could have been 2-0 up by the time Leeds had their opportunity. So I'd question the timings of his substitutions again. But he can't be applauded for picking the team that, like Mike said, picks itself because they're playing so well. So a 7.
Okay.
Didn't have to start thinking, put it that way.
Okay, great, guys. Listen, I thoroughly enjoyed doing this with you this way. And like I mentioned, this is a video. It's also going to be a podcast. which will be released shortly, probably on Friday. But thanks, guys, for joining me. Mike, thank you so much for doing it again. This is your idea originally, and I really like doing these.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I have enjoyed it, and it's good to be back sort of doing this type of thing. And hopefully we have a lot more games to talk about and more important game as well, hopefully, at the end of the season.
Hopefully. Emilio, thank you so much for doing this with us tonight.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed it. Thanks, guys, for having me on. And, yeah, let's continue this good run on Saturday. But we've got some tricky games. No easy games in this division. So I'm just worried about Millwall. Someone needs to stop Millwall getting more points, because they're the team I worry, and Middlesbrough in the playoffs. But yeah, we've got some exciting games to look forward to over the next few weeks. But annoyed with Sky Sports constantly changing the times of these games. Mike, please take that up with the club. You know, because it's just poor fans are out of pocket time and time again.
It's a difficult subject, and we're running out of time. But no one's really happy with it at all. So.
Yeah. I wish we had more time to talk about it, Mike, but maybe we will on a future show, because I think it's wrong, but we'll talk about that another time. Well, great show, guys, but it is time to go. For Emilio Danella, I'm Russ Coleman, and of course, Mike Gregg is below us in this little box. Thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk.